When Israel was enslaved in Egypt, they didn't do anything wrong to incur that, what you might call punishment, 430 years. You remember how Israel started with Abraham, then his son Isaac, his son Isaac's son Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, all of his sons, and then, of course, they found themselves in Egypt when Joseph was in authority. And then as they grew in Egypt, the nation, the people just expanded rapidly to the point where the Egyptians were threatened. And that's why they put them into slavery. But Israel didn't do anything wrong. It's just something they had to go through. And at the end of the time that had been spoken, 430 years, God brought deliverance through Moses, and they were set free. This, to me, is like a type of our being birthed into this world. You know, we become enslaved to this world, not because we've done something wrong. Just by birth, you come into this world, and you get trapped by the spirit of the age and what's here. That cycle is broken when the grace of God touches your life and Jesus Christ comes into your heart and life. We are no longer enslaved to the Egypt of the world. We're set free. Now, if we go down historically with the nation of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they were free to go into their own land. And then years later, they went back into another type of captivity. This time, it was their fault. This time there was a reason for the captivity. And I'm talking about, I think it was at 586, 587, whenever, when Babylon overtook them. And they took many of the people back into Babylon. Years before that, the northern tribes had come under the rule of Assyria. So something happened to the nation. This captivity was because something had gone wrong, something had failed, and God was trying to get through to them. Now, the basic problem is when they came out of Egypt, God had a plan, and we'll call that Plan A. And that plan meant that they were to come out and come to his mountain and worship him. They were to be his people, his family, kings and priests. He wanted a priesthood. Israel looked at God and said, that's okay, but we have a plan B that we're going to stick with. This plan B is we want our own life. We want what we want. We want you to be a part of it. I'll tell you what, here's Moses. You speak to him. He'll tell us what you want, and this is the kind of relationship we'll have with you. Now, plan B, our plan Bs, like theirs, always lead to captivity. There's only one plan. God has no backup plan. He said, here's what I want. I want you to be my people. I want to be everything to you. End of story. And with our self-will, our independence, we come up with an alternate plan that says, God, we want you to be in the picture here, but we want a certain life, and we want you to be sure that that life happens. Okay, that type of thinking produces captivity. I want to read one verse to you that I think just perfectly expresses what was happening to Israel. And this is, you can read this later. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 41, so while these nations feared the Lord, they also served their idols. Verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods according to the custom of the nations from among whom they had been carried away into exile. This is the plan B. You fear God, you love God, but you keep your idols. We believe for the kingdom of God, we love it, we want to be a part of it, but we keep our ties to the spirit of this age. We try to serve two masters. We want to do his will, but our self-will is still in the picture. We want what we want. The end result is the captivity. Now, if you read about the captivity in Babylon, you remember that after so many years, the Persians came in and overtook the Babylonian Empire. And Darius was the king of Persia, and something changed with him. He said, okay, you people can go back to your land now. It wasn't simply a matter of, okay, you've been punished long enough, now go back and do your own thing. If you read the historical books about this period of time when they returned from the captivity, I'm talking about Ezra and Nehemiah, there was a reason for their return. There were prophets that dealt with the time after the captivity. Most of the prophets were before, but we're going to read from Haggai, and Zechariah and Malachi all dealt with the time following when the people had returned to their own land. What were they returning to? God had done something in their spirit. They were going back to rebuild the temple, going back to rebuild the wall. They were going back to plan A. That was the intent of releasing them from the captivity. We are captives. And I'll tell you, you can be, have gifts of the Spirit. You can belong to a wonderful church. You can have your theology all nailed down. God can be alive in your life, and you can still be captive and not free in the Spirit to do His will. It's only when we recognize that His plan is the only plan, and we empty ourselves of our plan B and what we want. Empty ourselves. Last week we talked about this in Philippians 2. Jesus, who was the Son of God, He had rights as the Son of God. He became a bondservant for our sake. He emptied Himself of everything. That's what it's all about. That's what breaks captivity. We lay down our talents, our gifts, our way of thinking, our plans before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's that willingness in our heart to say, Father, the plan that You have for my life, I don't understand it. Half the time I'm fighting You over it. But inside my cry is, Abba, Father, Thy will be done. That's the cry that produces absolute freedom from the spirit of this age. That's what freedom's all about. That's what was starting in their heart. Now, obviously, historically, they didn't learn too much because you started the New Testament, they're under Roman rule. They didn't get it, but something began in their heart of a reviving to remember the Lord again. And that's when they were released for the purpose of building the temple. I think this is a perfect type because what was the temple all about? Read in 2 Chronicles 5 and 6. The temple that Solomon built, it says the glory of the Lord so filled that place, the priests couldn't enter to minister. And they began to remember that, because that temple was destroyed, the physical temple. And God began to put it in their heart to go back and rebuild that temple. What were they rebuilding? A physical building? No, a place for the presence of God to dwell. In the New Testament it says, we are the temple of the Lord. But if we're talking about going back and building our lives, what are we building? What are we building? Is it some self-improvement course? Have we got some standard of the law fixed in our mind and we're looking and saying, I've got to be perfect, I've got to be a better person? People build all the time. It can be a lot of self-will, self-effort, leading nowhere. Or are we allowing the Holy Spirit to build a place in our humanity for the presence of God to live and be expressed? That's what the Father's after. He wants to express Himself through us. We've got other ideas. Look at Joseph. You remember when he went through his captivity? He came out of it. It says in Psalm 105, until the word of God was fulfilled, that he, remember when he went to be at Pharaoh's right hand, which had been spoken over him? It says the word of God tested him. When Joseph came out of the captivity into a place of authority, was he perfect? No. That's not what those 13 years of captivity were all about. In fact, if you want to read, I was doing a little bit of reading about that. When his brothers came to him because of the famine, and Joseph was sitting at the right hand of Pharaoh, he had been given authority over the whole kingdom. His brothers didn't recognize him, but he recognized his brothers. Do you read about how he treated them? It's kind of he toyed with them. He put them in prison for a little bit. He really put them through the paces, didn't he? You know, maybe a little bit of revenge here. I mean, the point is, he wasn't a perfect man. God had done something in his spirit where God could be manifest through him. That was the point of the captivity. And what was that all about? The compassion to save his family, because that was the future of Israel. His brothers deserved punishment. They deserved to die for the way they treated him. Yet God said they need to be forgiven so that my will can be done through that seed. It's not that Joseph's humanity was any more perfect than you or I. It's just that God had done a work in his spirit. Something had changed where when he came into that place of authority, our Heavenly Father could manifest through his life with compassion and love, where punishment was actually deserved. So what is God building in you? I mean, I look at myself in the mirror and I can think of a lot of things that need to change. And too often church is wrapped up in self-improvement, or we get in our mind a certain image of what we think perfect life would be, and we're trying to strive and make ourselves better. Well, all I can say to that is, how well has that worked for you? I mean, that's the most frustrating way you can ever live. It's not about us perfecting our humanity so we can reach a point where we say, okay, God, I'm ready. Your presence can now inhabit my life. No. This is all about his grace. We are his home. He lives in us by his choice. But he is working in you. And this is a work that you cannot do in your own strength. It's not produced by your will. All you can do is cooperate. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Something too deep for our thoughts to even understand. I don't need the Holy Spirit to see what's wrong with me. And if I can't see my faults, the devil's always there to help me, right? We have this condemning voice on our shoulder. But without the Holy Spirit, I have no clue as to what God is really after in my life. The Holy Spirit goes and does the work in you where the Father says, good. Now I can express my intent, my heart, my mind through this life. My presence can be manifest there. That's what happened with Joseph. That's what's happening with us. We are being released from captivity. You know, your cry to be released from captivity, it's not like the Israelites when they were enslaved to Egypt. When you're a slave, you've done nothing wrong. Someone has injured you, and all you can do is cry out and say, God, change this. That's fine. He heard their cry. But when they were captives in Babylon, they could cry out all they wanted to. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about them being upset with their bondage and saying, God, how long, how long? The issue wasn't how long. The issue was, do you get it? Are you going to let me do something in your heart to bring you back to me? How long does our captivity last? You can ask that question from here on out. You'll never get an answer. The real question to ask is, Lord, what is it you're doing in my life that's deeper than my understanding? What are you doing in me where you can be seen through me? I know what I want for my life. I know how I want my humanity to respond and the changes I want to make, but what do you want to do in me for your glory, not for mine? Turn with me to the book of Haggai. Just going to read a few verses here. This is after they had returned. The people say in verse 2, you know, that may be a hard one to find. It's the third from the end in the Old Testament. You can just find it later. But it's only two chapters. And chapter 1, verse 2, the people say the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. See, our humanity says it's not time for this thing, for what God wants to do to rebuild this house, because I've got to be rebuilt. My life's a mess. I've got to take care of these problems. So again, we get focused on our flesh. And whenever we focus through introspection, self-introspection on ourselves, we have a helper, don't we? And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. There's that condemning voice of the enemy. The accuser of the brethren comes in. When we're focused on ourselves, we're not being focused on God's purpose in us. When we're focused on ourselves, that is the captivity. We become more captive to the things we see wrong. And what they're saying is, it's not time for God's house to be built because I got to take care of myself. What about his kingdom? What about the words over your life? Well, I'm not in a place for them to happen. That is a lie. If you believe that you've got to work on yourself to get ready for something that God's going to do, that isn't the truth. Because you'll forever be working on stuff and putting God off till tomorrow. Today, if we hear His voice, today He inhabits our lives. His presence is in us. We've got to recognize it's time to stop doing what we want to do, our agenda, our plans, and say, Father, what is your agenda? And this is what he's getting at. The word of the Lord in verse 3 said, came to the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Consider your ways. And we can really stop there. He goes on to talk about how they experience such futility. You so much, reap little, on and on and on. Why? Because they're in control, trying to make their lives better. And God is saying, isn't it time for my temple to be built? What would happen if we lost the self-focus? We're so conditioned for it, though. And the lie that hits the church is, we're just not ready. Look at all your faults. Look at your problems. How can God use you? How can He live in you? It's all by grace. God has chosen us first. We didn't choose Him. Remember that. But as long as we're working on ourselves, what we're actually doing is resisting the Holy Spirit. Doesn't sound right, does it? Well, I'm doing good things. I'm trying to make myself a better person. But you at the same time with that self-effort can be resisting what the Holy Spirit's trying to do and making you that dwelling place, that temple for the presence of God to just manifest through. What time are we living in? This book talks about times. What is the time we're living in? Is it time for us to focus on our lives and what we think needs to be done? Or is this the time, the season, that the presence of God is to be seen in the people of the Lord? Is it time for us to drop all this other stuff that we've been conditioned to focus on and say, Lord, what is it you're doing by your Spirit in me? Let it flow. Let it just shine through. I think we recognize it's the hour for that. God is moving now in a very special way. It's more than just better gifts and more miracles and all these wonderful things that are happening. I believe we're in a time where he's saying, my presence is going to be released through my people, through people's lives, human beings. He's not saying, I got to change the humanity first. Is he? He made us human. He's saying, if you can believe and you can allow me to do that work like he did in Joseph, let the word of God test and try us. Can we believe that it's a time that God is releasing his presence to move through our lives in a greater way than we've ever known before? This is the testimony the world is waiting for. It's not just something physically, externally that's going to happen. It's actually the Father, our Heavenly Father, his mind, his heart, his presence being expressed through people like it was expressed through Jesus. So Lord, we say yes to you. It is time for you to build your house. For you to build by your Holy Spirit. Plan A, Lord. We drop all our plan Bs. Let your will be done through our lives now as you desire. This is the end of all captivity, when we say yes to your will and what you want. Amen.